Welcome to Triad Arts Weekend. I'm Eddie Garcia. On today's show, we leave the studio and head to downtown Winston-Salem for Triad Arts Live, presented by WFDD and the Arts Council of Winston-Salem and Forsyth County. Our guest is Cascavelli Morrison. She's an Americana and folk singer whose songs tackle big issues like gender politics and social justice. Her words, melodies, and excellent band filled the Mount Castle Forum at the Milton Road Center of the Arts. And we have the whole concert and interview for you on today's show. Then it's back to the studio for David Ford's interview with Lawrence Jenkins. He's the UNCG Art Department Chair behind an exhibit of the work of late North Carolina painter Maud Gatewood. It's an hour of art, music, and talk coming your way right after this news. This is Triad Arts Weekend. I'm Eddie Garcia. WFDD and the Arts Council of Winston-Salem and Forsyth County have been collaborating on an event series. It's called Triad Arts Live. So far, we've hosted Jeffrey Dean Foster, the Tyler Nail Trio, and lots of food trucks. Today's show comes from our most recent music and talk concert. It was recorded at Mount Castle Forum in the Milton Road Center for the Arts in downtown Winston-Salem. My guest was Cascavelli Morrison. Thanks for coming in and welcome to Triad Arts Live here in the Mount Castle Forum in the Milton Road Center for the Arts. My guest, Cascavelli Morrison, she's an Americana folk singer and songwriter. Her songs blend together the traditions of American roots with themes of social justice. Her debut album, The Kingdom Belongs to a Child, is going to be locally released at Cranky's on October 16th and available everywhere on October 30th. So here with her band featuring Ryan McLeod, Luke Payne over there on guitar, and John Ray on bass performing the song Made of Sand, Cascavelli Morrison.
I can't say it, the sun setting scarlet, you'll find I'm made of sand, a sparrow. Away tonight.
Cashavelli Morrison playing Made of Sand. Now, Cashavelli, you come from a dance background, and Ryan, you went to, did you go to the School of the Arts?
I did,
for
yeah.
classical guitar. So how did you two get together and wind up making Americana music together from that?
I was just always surrounded by musicians, and I always wanted to do it. And I had a guitar, and I would play, but I had such talented musicians around me that it just felt like, well, I'll never be as good as they are. But it just seemed like in every hard time, I would always turn to the guitar, and especially in 2010, it's just all I could do. I couldn't get enough of it, so I just sat down with the guitar every night, and I just started writing all these songs. And I had written songs over the years, but this just was a ton of songs came out, and he'd come home from graduate school, and I would just, I wrote this song, hear it, and he was just so supportive, and like, oh, that's great, and then he would add his amazing playing to it, and then I would just be like, okay, great, you know, like, that's wonderful. Yeah, so. Yeah.
I should say, not to make any assumptions here, but you two are
married.
We're married. Okay.
Yeah. Everyone's married.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what about you, just musically speaking? Like, yeah. What was the transition like to, you know, different style of music?
I mean, traditional music, roots music has been part of my life since I was born with my dad. I'm from Raleigh originally. He was an organizer in Pinecone Music Association, and so it was just around me, but then classical guitar beckoned, and so I was trained in that. And so I sort of distanced from music after college, got a grad degree in something totally different. So it was really Melissa who kind of pulled me back in, and I was very kind of hesitant. I was, oh, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I just, you know, don't have the confidence and everything. But I think it was just... you know, it's being inspired by her songs, and it kind of gave me this perfect fabric to work with. You know, I didn't have to worry about lyrics, and I don't ever want to worry about lyrics because that's not my strong suit. So,
well, we'll talk a little more about lyrics for certain in just a moment. But how about you go ahead and play another song for us?
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you. Now, I talked to a lot of bands for whom lyrics tend to be an afterthought. Not that they don't have importance or meaning right, after the fact, right. But I get the feeling that that's what comes first in this band. And that song, Pink Dress, is dealing with some serious themes involving femininity. And could you maybe give us a little more background on that song and the writing of it?
Yeah. So usually I just sit down and I just try to write something, and one line informs the next, and something just comes out without me even realizing what's coming out, and then I'll be like, oh, this is coming out. So this song came out, and I felt like, oh, I really know what this is about, and I felt like it was a really great sequel to Joyce Carol Oates' story, Where Are You Going, Where Have You Been?, which is about a girl who is talking to a man, and the whole conversation turns very dark, and he's going to kidnap her, and you never know what happens to her. And so her name's Connie, and I even use that name without realizing that connection. But that story always haunted me, because I feel growing up, I was just very aware that my body was like a weapon that could be turned against me, and that nothing had to happen to me. It could just be a story on the news that would end up limiting my freedom, and the fear would grow, you know, as a woman. And so I feel like I was so glad when the song came out, because I was like, oh, this is what this is about, is, you know, one violent act, you know, even if it's not very violent, ends up inhibiting the freedom to explore the world for females. And so it just could be a story you hear about. I'm just really passionate about that.
And what kind of power do you think music has to get these ideas out there? You know, not that there's an end goal, but what would you like to see, you know, the music accomplish?
I feel like there's something that is communicated through music that you can't communicate even through words. And so, I mean, I tried to be a writer for a long time, and there's something just very disappointing about it, and maybe I just don't have the skills to be that kind of writer, but I feel like the music and the melody bring in the feeling of what it's like to sit at home and to say, no, I'm not going to go out in case something bad happened to me. And so I feel like there's this longing in that song and longing in the voice. And I feel like when I wrote that song, I was really discovering a part of myself that I had severely inhibited. And so my voice really changed, like he came home. And I feel like with this song especially, I feel like I found like the voice of that inner self, that I was kind of shedding all these expectations and gender roles and norms off to get to. And so I write the lyrics, and then I just sing the melody. And I, with this one, I did write it with the guitar, and the guitar helped me get the melody. But a lot of times I write the lyrics and I just sing a cappella to get the melody until I have the feeling I want. And I can usually tell when there's a note, it's like, oh, that's not what the feeling is. So, yeah.
Great. Well, we'd love to hear another song.
Began to wonder about she'd seen.
Cascavelli Morrison with Long-Haired Mare. That song and Pink Dress both have stunning videos that have been made for them by Celia Ralston Hall, who's a director and choreographer. How did you connect with her, and how do you see the videos furthering your vision of these songs?
So Celia lived in the same dorm hall as me when I went to School of the Arts.
Okay.
So she got her start at UNCSA. So I hadn't connected with her in years, but I had followed her on Facebook and followed her, just her, the development of her career. And she makes such provocative films and so intriguing. And she deals with a lot of similar themes that you know, Melissa was writing about. And so I approached her and just asked if she'd be willing to work with us. And fortunately, she was. So it's been an amazing process to kind of share in that vision. So.
And specifically about the videos, if you haven't seen them, the first one is a woman who looks like a mermaid at the edge of the ocean, and the waves are just crashing over her, and she doesn't get up. But then it cuts to a shot where she has gotten up and she's putting on a coat. And it's very minimalist style, and I wanted it to be that way because I just wanted to have a woman not do anything, you know, and there's just so many opinions about what a woman should be and what a woman should do. And the experience of watching it is she going to get up? Is she dead? You know? and so I kind of went that, like, no, she's not going to do anything. She's just going to be, you know, and then she does get up and you see her putting on some coat and she kind of eyes the camera. So I just thought this was just a really great exercise of, this is this woman's choice, and then our choice to have a video like that. And then Pink Dress, I feel the video, without saying too much, I just feel that personal feeling of wanting to make myself more androgynous, wanting to be less girly, wanting to cover up, to be less of, that there's something that happens when you're having that fear expand, that you deny even the things that you should be celebrating, just being a woman and enjoying what it is to be a woman. And so there's a third video coming out, and they all very much deal with the transformations of women. I feel like Long Haired Mare is this kind of resurrection, and Pink Dress is kind of the opposite, the kind of retreating.
So it's great. So you continue working with her. Is she doing the third video?
She's doing the third video. It should come out this month sometime.
Okay. Great. And she's just released her feature film, Ma, which deals with this sort of retelling of the story of the Virgin Mary. So, you know, if you haven't, go check out Celia. She's great. So.
Okay, thanks.
Silver fish come flying.
That's Ryan McLeod, guitarist and vocalist with Cacciavelli Morrison. We're listening to a broadcast of Triad Arts Live. The concert took place on October 5th. As a collaboration between WFDD and the Arts Council of Winston-Salem and Forsyth County. We'll be back with more in 60 seconds. I'm Eddie Garcia, and this is Triad Arts Weekend. Welcome back to Triad Arts Weekend. I'm Eddie Garcia. Coming up later in the show, we head to UNCG for a retrospective of the painter Maude Gatewood. But now let's get back to Triad Arts Live with Cacciavelli Morrison. Well, we have a little more time for a few more songs, if you'd like to play some more. Thank you all for coming to Triad Arts Live and braving the weather. Yeah. I appreciate it, and as I'm sure Cacciavelli Morrison does.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming. This is really special for us. This is our first performance, so.
Okay. Well, you're doing great.
We knew we were jumping off of a cliff.
Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that our first performance is going to be recorded. It's like, okay, let's do it.
Let's meet the band over here, too. So how long have you all been playing together as a full band here?
I've played with them one time at their house. So
okay.
We rehearsed.
It's very new.
We rehearsed a few days ago, and they gave me the CD, and I learned all the tunes. Just kind of stepping in.
This is the first time this has ever happened.
Yeah. So, thank you. But Luke's been playing with us quite a few months.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I've known Ryan for a long time since.
Don't say how long, because that'll make.
Given her the right of her birth.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
So as you said, you're just getting started with playing live. So what happens after the album release? There's any, you know, more concerts or any touring on the horizon?
Yeah, we're going to be doing a concert with Matt Bauer. The details are still being worked out, but he's a wonderful solo act and very dark Southern Gothic type music that will complement ours, I think. And yeah, so that's on the horizon.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Great. And did you self-release the record yourself? Or
yes.
Are you working with anyone?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have time for one more song, and it's going to be the song 29 Bells, which I understand is there's a story behind that song related to a tragic incident. Would you mind telling the audience a little bit about
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so in 2010, in my hometown in Beckley, West Virginia, there was a methane gas mine explosion, which should just not happen anymore. It's very dangerous, and actually 29 men got killed instantly in that. And the man responsible, many feel is responsible, the coal baron, is just now going to trial. So it's been a long process, and everyone in West Virginia is very scared to talk about it. He's a very powerful man, and they're scared of him. And so that just frustrated me so much. And I tried for 5 years to write a song, and it was really right before we recorded the album that I found the right way to express what I wanted to express about what people are going through there. He apparently conspired to falsify the methane levels in the mine. And so 29 men that didn't have to die, died. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, thank you. All right, Cacciavelli Morrison, The Kingdom Belongs to a Child, really released October 16th. Thanks so much for coming today.
Great, thank you so much. I just want to thank everybody for letting us do this today and being our hurdle to jump over in a really wonderful environment like this. I feel so much more confident now that this happened. So thank you for being our first live listeners. This really means a lot
to
me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to also say thanks to the Arts Council of Winston-Salem and Forsyth County for all their support and for helping us to hold these events. Thanks to Iggy Live and Good, Marley Priest, Kike Rodriguez Pastor, and George Newman for all of your technical assistance. Thanks to Bethany Chafin, Molly Davis. Thanks for your support. Great. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Triad Arts Live with Cacciavelli Morrison. The debut CD, The Kingdom Belongs to a Child, will be available on October 30th. You can find links to music and videos and upcoming concerts at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. We have one more break, but when we return, it's the Gatewood Gallery of UNCG and the paintings of Maud Gatewood when Triad Arts Weekend continues. Welcome back to Triad Arts Weekend. I'm Eddie Garcia. We're back in the studios of WFDD, and Triad Arts' David Ford has an in-depth look at a pivotal North Carolina artist.
The late North Carolina artist and educator Maud Gatewood graduated from Woman's College, now UNCG, in 1954. Since then, she and her work have gone on to influence an entire generation of young artists. Remembering Maud, a selection of her paintings continues at the Gatewood Gallery in Greensboro. Gatewood once said, "I think it's in the nature of the species to be a little evasive and covered. Ambiguity might be the heart of life as well as art." UNCG Art Department Chair Lawrence Jenkins.
The more I've spent time with Maud's work, the more I understand what that ambiguity is. The pictures are, the paintings at first glance are so straightforward. They're landscapes, or they're tobacco barns, or they're a girl sitting on a swing on a porch. But there's always something that isn't quite right, and not necessarily in an ominous way, but there's always something that catches your attention, that makes you pause with the picture and makes you take in the picture and think about what you're seeing. You know, a piece of architecture or architectural detail that doesn't go all the way down to the floor and the landscape creeps in over it. What does that mean? Why is it there? It is something that's, her work is worth spending time with, because one always finds something more than one expects. And she leaves every now and then the artist's measurement marks in the painting so that it reminds you it's a painting and not anything else. It's not a view out a window. It is a two-dimensional object.
Hmm. From one of the earlier UNCG exhibits, I guess at Weatherspoon a while back, one of the curators wrote about how Maud drew routinely in a variety of media, recording thoughts for new paintings or drawings for its own sake, never focused on one style, preferring instead to experiment with materials and approaches. Which styles are being represented at UNCG's exhibition, this ongoing one that you've curated of Maud's work?
First, I'll say that the show was curated by Barbara Campbell Thomas, who is one of our painting professors at UNCG, and she did a fantastic job pulling together about 16 works of art, most of them large paintings and most of them from private collections. The idea was to bring work that people haven't necessarily seen very recently because it's not in one of the collections in North Carolina. The show brings together work from across Maud's life. So we have a piece she did at WCUNC at Woman's College. She graduated in 1954. So we have an abstract expressionist piece that she did sometime before 1954 through work that was completed just a couple of years before she died. So we have work that is abstract. We have work that is painterly. We have work that's hard-edged. We have work that's realistic. We have work that is more stylized.
What draws you most to her work, Lawrence?
I find her work fascinating, again, because there's always something there that I don't expect. I'm not from North Carolina, so I'm drawn in particular to the scenes that for me, and maybe not for Maud, I don't know, but for me are very much about North Carolina, the tobacco barns, the fields, the landscapes that she painted, but also the people that she painted sitting on swings, on porches. We have a lovely portrait of her mother when she was in her 80s. Maud grew up in Yanceyville, which is maybe halfway between Greensboro and Danville, Virginia. It's a teeny town. It's the county seat for Caswell County. Maud was the, for a time, county commissioner, first woman elected to be a county commissioner in Caswell County. So she knew that place really well. And I think this notion of place was enormously important to her. And she conveys that in a way that allows me as viewer to understand place from my point of view.
I'm looking at figure male and figure female. They're two black and white ink wash paintings of people, of individuals. And she has a very individual painting style. How would you describe it?
Well, and her style changes over the course of her lifetime. The two figures that you're referring to are 8x11-inch drawings done very quickly and probably in the early 1960s when she had a Fulbright to Austria. She studied in Vienna for a year. The most famous part of that year was the summer that she spent at a workshop with her, a couple weeks she spent with Oskar Kokoschka towards the end of his life. But I think it was, for Maud, the period before the summer with Oskar, as I refer to it. It was the, and the art history in particular, her work has a lot of art history in it. And she was very knowledgeable about the history of art and occasionally taught surveys of the history of art. So you find across her work a variety of styles, and sometimes they're referential to other things that she's seen. Sometimes they're uniquely her own, but they always change and they seem always to grow.
Maud once said, it's like people. If you meet a person that's absolutely pleasant, they tend to be innocuous. Nothing's worse than being pleasant, she said. That seems to say a lot about the artist. What kind of person was Maud Gatewood?
Well, and I unfortunately never knew Maud. I came to North Carolina in 2010. She died in 2004. But one of the real pleasures of this project for me was getting to know a whole variety of people across North Carolina who knew Maud. And what amazes me is the fierce loyalty to her that exists now 11 years after she died. And our show closes on November 8th, which is actually coincidentally the 11th anniversary of her death. But these are people who still very much want to see that Maud's legacy lives on. Part of the show was about bringing Maud back into the Gatewood Studio Arts Building. Our building is named for her. She left some very generous bequests to UNCG, to her alma mater. Part of the idea was to for faculty and students to meet Maud again as an artist so that Gatewood wasn't just the name of the building in which they work and study or teach if they're faculty, but that there is a person behind it. One of the really exciting things for me is that although the Wetherspoon Art Museum has a dozen or so of Maud's works in their permanent collection, the art building or the studio arts building has nothing of hers. So students don't know who Gatewood was. And as a result of the show, a couple of the big paintings that are in it were given to the art department. So we'll have two works for permanent display even after the show comes down in November.
In what ways was she, most influential on the recent history of visual arts in North Carolina?
I think her influence came as a faculty member and as a teacher. Maud deserves a reputation that goes outside of North Carolina, but I think because she was so heavily collected in North Carolina and a little bit in the Southeast region, she's not very well known outside of the area. But I think that, her largest impact came on the several generations of students whom she taught. She taught at UNC Charlotte. She taught at Averett College in Danville, but she also taught in Texas and in Alabama over the course of some 30 years.
The next collateral event comes up on the 29th at 5:30 in the Gatewood Studio Arts Building. It's going to be room 204. It's a screening of the documentary, Gatewood Facing the White Canvas. What was your takeaway having seen that film?
Well, for me, because I didn't know Maud, Facing the White Canvas is an opportunity to, literally to hear her voice, to see her. It's made towards the end of her life, and it's one of the rare occasions when she talks about her work. She didn't like to talk about her painting. She wanted people to take away from it what they saw in it and not look for what she wanted them to see in it. So she tends not to talk about her work, but in Facing the White Canvas, you get to hear from her and you get to see her in her studio. We will have the film's producers and directors, David Casper, who's actually an Oscar-winning documentarian, and Carlisle Petit, who is a North Carolina artist, will talk about making the film. We'll talk about how they got from Maud what they wanted for this one-hour documentary, and then we'll screen the film afterwards.
And then we'll get a very personal perspective from a few folks during Knowing Maud Gatewood, personal perspectives on November 5th. Charles Parker Boggs, Robert Marsh, and Christy Taylor. Who are they, and what can we hope to take away from the panel discussion then?
I'm really looking forward to the panel discussion, which comes right towards the end of the show, because it's an opportunity to talk about Maud as a person, you know, the Maud that they knew. And what we've tried to do is to bring people together from different aspects of Maud's life, so that Christy Taylor, who was a partner in Hodges Taylor Gallery, which is now Hodges Taylor Art Consultancy in Charlotte, for a long time was one of Maud's gallerists, so she knew her from a business point of view. Robert Marsh still teaches art at Averett and was Maud's colleague for a long time. And then C.P. Boggs was an undergraduate at Averett and did his MFA in the late 1990s at UNCG and is now a practicing artist in Eastern Kentucky. He teaches at Hazard Technical and Community College and has a pretty thriving artistic practice of his own. So we'll get Maud from the point of view of a student and Maud from the point of view of a colleague and Maud from the point of view of a gallerist. And I imagine there'll be people in the audience who will want to add their stories about Maud as well.
UNC at Greensboro Art Department Chair Lawrence Jenkins. Remembering Maud, a selection of her paintings, continues at the Gatewood Gallery in Greensboro through November 8th in the Gatewood Studio Arts Building. There'll be a screening of the documentary Gatewood Facing the White Canvas on the 29th and more. You'll find links at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts. For 88.5 WFDD, I'm David Ford.
Triad Arts Weekend's executive producer is David Ford. Our associate producer is Bethany Chafin. And our contributing editor is Kike Rodriguez-Pastor. You'll find podcasts, archived episodes, and links to our guests, events, videos, and more on our website, WFDD.org. Once you're there, click on Triad Arts Weekend. You can follow us on Twitter as well. Our handle is Triad Arts Speak. And be sure to like WFDD on Facebook. Triad Arts Weekend is a production of 88.5 WFDD, public radio for the Piedmont. I'm Eddie Garcia. Thanks for listening to Triad Arts Weekend.